time I hear of heaven, read of heaven, sing of heaven, just makes me know it's going to be that much closer to home. Amen. And what a glorious time we will have, amen, when we get over there. Praise God. So good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. Has anyone got a great testimony? I need to hear some good news. Anybody got any good news to share? Amen. Has God been good to you this week? All right. Amen.
My dad did get, I don't know if he told God, but he did have gallstones. He got prayed for him. He went to the surgeon and he said, you know, he may never have another attack again. We could remove them, but I don't see a need to. And now I'm like, nope, don't remove them. I'm healed.
Oh, praise God.
Attacks,
thank God. Thank God. We're glory. Hey, God can do anything. Amen. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think. Anybody else want to share a testimony tonight? That testimony made me think of my granddaddy Allen. Didn't get to know him very long. He passed away in 1957. I was very young at the time. But I remember Dad and Aunt Dorothy and some of the other children talking about a time that a calf got sick. And they was afraid that the calf was going to die, and they was wondering what they could do. They was trying to think of who they could call or what kind of... Back then, you just couldn't get on the phone or get down the road and find a vet or anything. So they was trying to think of somebody in the neighborhood that might could come and do something to help the calf live because it was just about dead. And they got to missing Granddaddy Allen, and come to find out he was down at the barn, and he laid hands on the calf. And the calf recovered. Amen. That's faith. But you know what? God, He specializes in all fields. Amen. Not only can He heal our bodies, He can heal our animals' bodies if we have faith enough to believe that God can do anything. If you have your Bibles with us tonight, go to Psalm 119. And don't get panicky because I'm not going to preach the entire chapter. That is the longest chapter in the Bible. And I promise you, I will not try to preach the entire 119th Psalm. Somebody say, praise the Lord. But 119, I want to read the first 8 verses if I can. And thank you for standing for the reading of God's Word. It's good to see Annie here. Hadn't seen her since she's just a little bitty thing. I still remember when she was just a little lap baby. And Mother would sit back there in the back and rock her. And it's amazing that these kids can grow up and us not get any older. That is a miracle in itself. Amen. Reading from the Word of God. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep His testimonies, and that seek Him with a whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in His ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep Thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep Thy statutes! Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all Thy commandments. I will praise Thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned Thy righteous judgments. I will keep Thy statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly. Can we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we're so thankful, God, for Your Holy Spirit. We're thankful, Lord, for the opportunity that You've allowed us to gather together tonight. Father, thank You for those who are here. And I pray, God, Your blessing upon each and every one under the sound of my voice tonight. God, let us lay aside all problems and troubles and issues and get our mind totally upon You tonight. God, for You are a blessed God. And we thank You, Lord, for hearing our prayers. Pray now, God, that You would just anoint these lips of clay. God, speak to our hearts. God, that you would have us to hear, that we might be submissive and obedient to your will. And Father, we'll declare your name. We ask it in the precious and holy name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Tonight, if I had a message thought, and I contemplated, I was very, very close to just saying, you know what, I think I'm going to sit down tonight and let y'all just testify and just tell me some good news. And I got to thinking, you know what, I got good news. Because news is not just current events. News is the fact that you know what's in your heart and you know you walk with the Lord. And you know that whatever the issues arise in your life, God's going to take care of them. Amen. How many knows that tonight? We need to know that there's nothing too big for God. Amen. He can handle anything at all. And this particular chapter came to my mind as the psalmist began to write the different things. And first of all, when he begins to write, he begins to do a little bit of confessing. I mean, sometimes knows it's good sometimes to confess unto the Lord. By the way, we might as well go ahead and confess to the Lord, because he knows our faults, he knows our actions, and he knows if we have erred in the way. He knows that if we have not been totally submissive or obedient unto him, there's nothing as refreshing as it is when you come before the presence of God. You just begin to confess to him and ask the Lord to purge all of those things that are ungodly, purge all of those things, man, that may infiltrate our spiritual walk with the Lord, and give us a clear conscience and a clear mind to worship and praise the Lord. So if I had a message title tonight, it would be Praise from the Heart. Praise from the Heart. Let me clarify that just a little bit. How many, and I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands, but how many times have we praised the Lord, and maybe if we were really, really honest with ourselves, our heart wasn't in it. We praised him maybe because the minister said, let's all praise the Lord. Or the worship leader, or the praise team said, let's worship and praise the Lord. And many, many times we'll verbalize that praise, but so many times if we're not careful, our heart may be somewhere else, or our mind may be somewhere else. And I'll tell you another thing that this really, really caught my attention. When we got praise from our heart, outside circumstances cannot affect the praise that is in our heart. It will affect the praise that are just on our lips. Amen? Because it's easy, man, to forget to praise the Lord when things aren't going really, really well. When we've had a difficult day, when we've had a hard time at the job, or you know, whatever the situation may be. Many, many times, the devil knows exactly how to make us get our mind off of God, get our mind off our blessings, get our mind off our goodness and our salvation that the Lord has blessed us with, and get it on other things that sometimes infiltrate our spiritual communication with the Lord. But when it's from the heart, amen, when the praise is from the heart, and that relationship is from the heart, when we know, amen, that regardless of what we face that day, regardless of what we're going to have to face tomorrow, I love the song that Sister Jennifer sings, says, praise the hurt away. Amen. Many, many times we as human beings, sometimes we have a difficult time praising the Lord when there's hurt there. The hurt may be physical. The hurt may be mental. The hurt may be spiritual. Whatever the hurt is. Many, many times our feelings get hurt. Amen. Sometimes our whole world begins to hurt around us. And sometimes it's very, very difficult to praise the Lord in those times. We think sometimes as being blessed of the Lord that the time to praise him is when the blessings are flowing. And they will. They will flow. And that's a wonderful time to praise him. But if you really, really want to give praise from the heart, praise him sometimes when things are kind of hard, when things are kind of difficult, when the news isn't that really good. Praise him with your heart. The Bible talks about praising the Lord in all things. Praise him on the cymbals. Praise him on the high-sounding cymbals. Praise him with the instruments. Amen. Praise him with the mouth. Praise him with the hands. Praise him with everything. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. And when praise comes from the heart, there is a blessing in it. As is said by the psalmist here, when he starts off, he said, blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. That's not the case with a lot of times.
A lot of people want to be blessed, but they don't want to obey the commandments of the Lord. They don't really want the Lord to be Lord of their life. They want Him as Savior. Amen. I guarantee if you walk up and down the streets of Villarica and you take a survey and you begin to ask folks, do you want the Lord as your Savior? You'll probably get pretty close to 100% of the folks say, yes, I want Him as my Savior. But if you ask that same question, you want Him to be your Lord. And when you're saying Lord, that is Master. Amen. That is He who directs our life. That is He who dictates what we do in our life. He helps us with our thought process. He helps us in every situation. And many, many times we will accept the Savior part, but we're a little bit apprehensive sometimes about the Lord part. And so was the psalmist of this particular verse, because he said, blessed are they that keep His testimonies and that seek Him with a whole heart. They also do no iniquity, and they walk in His ways. He had noticed something about the people who remain true and obey the testimonies, the precepts, and the statutes of God. You'll never go wrong being obedient unto God. It is better to be obedient unto God than it is to please man. Sometimes you can't do both. So the better of those two alternatives is to please God in every situation, in all things we do. Then He says, Thou hast commanded us to keep Thy precepts diligently. Then here comes the confession. You know, up until this time, He has used the word they. Notice that. He hadn't said we or I, but He's talking about they. Those that are blessed. Those that are in tune with the Lord. Those that are, in other words, walking in all the ways of God's Word, and letting God's Word and God's Spirit lead them and direct them, not just in church service. That's going to be the easiest time to obey the Lord, is in church service, because you got people around you, or believers, and you got people around you who love you. And man, we're one family, the family of God, and we're going to support one another and help one another and pray for one another. Amen. Sometimes that's the easiest time to glorify and praise the Lord. So a lot of times it's not even a thought process. Sometimes it's not even from the depths of our heart. Sometimes it's just the emotional praise in God. And how many knows that feels good? Amen. You've come, or I've come to church before really tired. I've come with having a hard day, you know, but there's something refreshing when I come into the presence of God, when I come into the sanctuary and we leave all of the cares and the problems outside the door and we begin to glorify and praise the Lord and we get in one mind and one accord. That is very important. Amen. If we come and every one of us who's here, their mind is wandering and we're thinking about what we're going to do tomorrow. We're thinking about the problems that we got to face, or we're so worried that we really can't turn it over to the Lord. It's going to be very difficult for the Holy Spirit to work in us. Amen. Not that the Holy Spirit hadn't had power, but the Holy Spirit needs somebody that is submissive and obedient, amen, to the moving of the Spirit of the Lord. Kind of like it was Sunday, you know, all day long Sunday, there was just such an atmosphere, amen, of praising and worshiping the Lord. Can I tell you that God is in His place all the time? Amen. He's always here. Had never missed a service. He's always with us. But so many times we're going, and please, I'm not trying to be offensive. I'm not trying to be hurtful. But I'm saying many, many times we get into a situation where we go through the motions of praising the Lord. Go through the motions of singing praise unto Him. Go through the motions of opening up the Bible and reading the Word of God. And many, many times, according to the psalmist, sometimes our heart is really not in it. And I'm not saying, you know, that we're a bunch of hypocrites. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying so many times other things infiltrate our spiritual time that we need to devote to God for worshiping and praising Him. And this is what the psalmist said. And now he gets confession time, because he said, oh, that my ways. Now he uses the word my. Up until this point, it was they. I see them and they're blessed. I see them and they are obedient. I see them and they walk in the statutes and the precepts of God. I see them and they keep His testimonies. Many, many times I'll speak for myself. I've seen people and I say, oh my goodness, they live such a blessed life. It just seems like everything they do, and they're always happy and they're always just joyous and don't ever seem like they have any problems. I can assure you, amen, that they have problems. They have situations. situations, but because they have placed God first in their life and they're going to they've made that dedication and commitment that I'm going to praise Him and I'm going to serve Him regardless of circumstances. How many know circumstances happen? So many times God gets blamed for circumstances, but circumstances happen. The Bible tells us it rains on the just and it rains on the unjust, meaning that things are going to happen whether we're born again, whether we're saved, whether we're filled with His Holy Spirit or not. Things are going to happen. But people who are dedicated, people who are committed, people who walk in His statutes, people who practice His precepts and who live out His testimonies, those are the ones that's going to be able to weather the storm, because their worship and their praise is not going to be affected by outside sources. Amen. It's not going to cause us to come in and have a bad spirit or a bad mood. Amen. We're going to give us and dedicate this time unto the Lord and glorify and praise Him with our heart, our mind, our soul, and our body. Everything that is within us, let us praise the Lord. So up until this point, it has been they. I've noticed them. I see how they handle situations. I see how things don't really bother them. It doesn't get them down. And I admire that. I admire that. That's just what the psalmist is saying. But now he says, oh, I wish that my ways, amen, were directed to keep Thy statutes. God, if You would just help me to be obedient to Your word, if You would just help me to be dedicated to practice Your precepts, to obey Your commandments, amen, to share Your testimonies and to live out Your spiritual judgment upon my life, then I know that I would be able to be blessed as well. And after realizing that these are the things that are maybe needy or needful in his life, he goes on to say, then shall I not be ashamed. Now, up until this point, it sounds like that he was a little bit of ashamed of himself and how the way that he praised the Lord. And what would cause somebody to be ashamed that the praise of the, that their praise is not adequate unto the Lord? Because let me tell you something. We are a lot harder on ourselves than God is on us. Come on, amen. How many is glad he's a God of mercy? How many is thankful for grace? And how many is thankful for the forgiveness and the gentleness of his spirit? Amen. But he still expects us to be obedient unto his commandments. So many, many times when we come into the sanctuary, or when we come into the presence of the Lord, I would even suggest that sometimes it might even affect our prayer life. If we go to the Lord in prayer and we're feeling guilty, or we're feeling ashamed, or we're feeling like that maybe we hadn't held up to our end of the bargain. I hate to use that word bargain, because salvation is certainly a bargain. No, I didn't have to give anything. He gave everything. Amen. Amen. I am the recipient, amen, of the blood of Jesus Christ that was applied to my life. I'm so thankful for that. I never, ever want to forget that. I never, ever want to forget where God brought me from, amen, and what he has done for my life. But many, many times, I think so many times that we realize that, you know, we come into the presence of God and maybe our prayer life is not what it ought to be. And maybe, you know, we lost our temper and maybe we just got agitated and fretful. And let me just share something with you. God understands. He understands our inabilities. He understands our inadequacies. Amen. That's the reason that Jesus Christ came and died on the cross of Calvary, because God knew that you and I would not be able to keep all the commandments of the Lord. We would not be able to keep the Mosaic law in its entirety. And because God had mercy upon us, he sent his son Jesus Christ to die for us. Thank God for that. Amen. I'm so thankful for that, because now he has given me grace. Amen. When I fall, he can pick me up, dust me off, put me back on the road that's straight and narrow. Amen. And I don't mean to keep doing that over and over and over. Come on, don't ever abuse grace. Be thankful for grace. Be thankful for what Jesus Christ done for you. But strive to live a holy and righteous life before God. I want to tell you, whether you realize it or not, you are a walking billboard. We are a walking billboard. Anybody who says that I'm born again, I'm a Christian, becomes an advertisement for the Lord's grace. Amen. Because people are going to watch you. Now, if you don't claim Christianity, if you don't claim a born again experience, people don't care what you do. Do what you want to do. Because in their eyes, you're justified. But when you say, I'm born again, when you say, I'm a born again believer, I've been filled with the Spirit of the Lord, I'm a Christian, and I'm glad to be a Christian. I remember a song that Brother Everhart's children sang, said, I choose to be a Christian. Amen. If that choice is given to me, I'm going to choose being a Christian every single time. You know, it's not politically correct. Sometimes you take abuse for it. Sometimes you're ridiculed. Sometimes you're laughed about it. But thank God that we have the choice to be a Christian. I have the choice to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Are you? Amen. If you're thankful for the gospel of Christ, why don't you just put your hands together for what the Lord has done for us? Amen. So then he says, after I realize that I want my ways to be directed to keep thy statutes. Now that is a mouthful. If we really petition God, how many knows that God will give us the desires of our heart? That's what the Word of God says. But he wants our desires to be so closely knit to what his desire is for us. Because so many times in the Bible he talks about if you ask amiss. Come on. And what that means, you're asking something that is not God's will. So many times, whatever we ask God for, whether it be direction, whether it be healing, whether it be opening of doors or setting us free, whatever, they said, Lord, thy will be done. We have the perfect example of where Jesus Christ himself prayed. Amen. In the Garden of Gethsemane, when he knew his destiny, when he knew his mission, when he knew that he was going to be nailed to a cross and be crucified. And he prayed, Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. That's what he was talking about, the cup of death, the cup of crucifixion. But he followed that up. Amen. Because he realized that that was the fleshly part crying out, because the flesh didn't want to endure the cross. But the Spirit cried out, Father, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. If we would be submissive like that, like the psalmist was here, understand our faults, understand our shortcomings, and rather than trying to hide them, confess them to the Lord and say, Lord, help me in this area. Help me in this particular area or that area or this situation or whatever it is, because I want to be pleasing unto the Lord in all my ways. I don't want to pray the prayer, Lord, help me to be pleasing to man. Help me to be pleasing to people I'm around, because so many times if you're doing that, then you're putting them ahead of God. And we can't do that. We can't put anything between us and God. So God, help me to walk in your ways. Help me to be obedient to your statutes and to your precepts and to your commandments, Lord, so that I can declare thy testimonies. He said, then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. How many knows what a buffet table is? Anybody ever been to a buffet table? Or a buffet, cafeteria, or restaurant. You know, don't we kind of pick and choose what we want? I know sometimes if the tray was big enough, I'd like to have some of all of it. But many, many times, if you take all of it, you're going to have a big bill in at the end. You're probably going to, your eyes are going to be bigger than your stomach, actually. But we pick and choose what we want. The Bible is not meant to be a cafeteria plan. You can't just go in and pick out just what feels good or what satisfies your flesh or what eases your conscience. If you're going to obey the Word of God, you need to obey it in its entirety. Amen? You need the whole buffet, so to speak, the spiritual table that is set before us. Not just flip and go through and just pick out the good parts or just eat, somebody said, just the desserts of God's Word. And that, they are some sweet desserts in God's Word. How many knows there's blessings in God's Word? Amen? There is growth in God's Word. But I will tell you, sometimes there's some sternness in God's Word. But the sternness is what produces growth. If we ate all the desserts all the time, the growth would be there, but it wouldn't be good growth. Amen? But if we eat the meat of the Word, that gives us strength, spiritual strength, then when the storms come, then when the winds blow and the rains come against us, all these spiritual things, we'll be able to stand strong during those times. And that's what the psalmist said. It said, You know, I'm not there yet. How many of sometimes we need to realize we're not right there yet? The Apostle Paul said, I'm not where I be, not where I want to be. I'm stretching forth, or I'm pressing toward that mark. How many know sometimes it's hard to press toward that mark of complete obedience, amen, to the Lord. But God in His wonderful grace, God in His wonderful mercy will help us during those times. So then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. Then verse number 7. My message title was Praise from the Heart. And I do believe there is difference than just regular praise and praise from the heart. I believe that people on the job can go through the motions and do an adequate job, but people who do it from the heart, amen? And I hear people say today, that's kind of missing in the world today. No, it's not. You just hear more of the ones that are going through the motions. I believe with all of my heart there are still good people in this world. I still believe there are good folks who want to do the right thing, who give their employer an honest day's work, whether the supervisor is standing over them or not. There, I still believe there's good folks that do that. And you know what? I still believe there's a remnant in the church. I still believe God's got a people, amen, that is sold out to His Word, that believe Him, that's walking in the statutes of the Lord, that's trying to their very best to be obedient unto His commandments, to be in the Lord's will. Let His will supersede our will. Be submissive and obedient to His Word, and try to live as holy and righteous as we possibly can, knowing that we can't do it within ourselves, but He that is within us is greater than he that is in the world. It can be done. It has been done. It will be done as long as we depend on the Spirit of the Lord. So he says, I will praise thee with uprightness of heart. Sounds like to me that in the beginning of this particular psalm, this particular psalmist would have had a difficult time praising the Lord in the uprightness of his heart. Because there were some things in his life, according to the writing, that he needed to get directed. He needed to get direction from the Lord. And don't beat yourself up. Who of us is perfect? That's the reason Jesus came. Amen, because none of us were perfect. So don't beat yourself up if there's some shortcomings in their life. If there's some inadequacies. If there's some times maybe that we just feel that we're not really giving it our all. God understands. He knows the things that we have to face. I mean, He knows that there's issues in this life. Life is not easy. It never was intended to be easy. Since the fall of man, life sometimes is very, very difficult. But it's not impossible, okay? The things that are impossible with man, the Bible says, are made possible by God. So at the very onset, he had a very difficult time saying, you know, this praise that I'm offering to the Lord, it's not really from the heart. It's not really heartfelt. It's kind of going through the motions. It's kind of routine. It's kind of traditional. It's just kind of not, it's kind of serious, but not real serious, if you know what I'm talking about. But along about the end of it, he's realizing, you know what, Lord, if you'll help me in these ways, if you'll help me with this situation, if you'll help me with this matter, if you'll strengthen me in this particular part of my life, this is where I need help, Lord. I need help with anger management. Lord, I need help with fasting. I need help with prayer. I need help with being able to witness. Lord, I need help in coming into your sanctuary and being able to set aside those things that weigh heavy on my heart and heavy on my mind and to give you praise and honor and glory. And this is what really hit me, because I had every intention tonight of not standing in the pulpit, because I was going to ask your indulgence, because it's been a difficult week. It's been a difficult time. And I thought, I just don't think I can stand in the pulpit and do an adequate job of encouraging people when I'm not really that encouraged myself. And then the Lord directed me and checked me really, really quick. Amen. Thank God for that. And let me know that things don't have to go good for me to praise Him. I don't have to be feeling the best in my body to praise Him. Amen. I could have had a difficult week and a difficult day, but that's not an excuse not to praise Him, and not just praise Him from my lips, not just praise Him from my hand clap, but praise Him from the depths of my heart. Amen. With an uprightness of heart, truly be thankful. Amen. Because if I got nothing else to thank God for, I can thank Him for salvation. I know that the Lord has saved me. I know that He has filled me. I know that He has brought me to this point, and I know He's going to take me through. Amen. If only I'll just continue to be submissive to His will. Thank God that he realized that. Amen. He was kind of in a poor, pitiful state there at the beginning of that writing, because all he could see was everybody else being submissive and obedient, but it didn't really apply to him. But thank God it can apply to us. It just takes that ability to release things into God's hands. Amen. And that sounds so easy. It sounds so easy just to take that burden, take that problem, take that sickness, take that whatever it is, and just give it to God. Just release it into His hands. And when you release it into your hands, by faith you call it done. Amen. And you go forward and you begin to praise Him. Praise Him before you ever see the actual effects of your prayer. Try that sometimes. Devil don't want you to do that, because he tells you it ain't done yet. You're still hurting. You're still sick. You still got a bad doctor's report. But you know what? If you really want to make Satan mad, go ahead and praise God for healing anyway. You may be hurting in your body, but thank God you've healed me. Amen. That's called faith. Thank God you've touched me. Thank God you've made a way. Thank God you've answered my prayer ever before you even see the effects of it. Because that's what faith is. It's a substance. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, but the evidence of things not seen. Even though you hadn't seen it yet, claim it, declare it, and call it done. Then he said, I will praise thee with the uprightness of my heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. Sometimes we haven't learned. Sometimes we've gone through the motion so many times, but we really haven't learned to rely on God. We haven't really relearned how I just said to release things into God's hand. But when we learn that, amen, when you know that we had a saying, the company that I work for, when you know and you know that you know, then confidence replaces fear. If I can say that one more time without getting it messed up. When you know and you know that you know, then confidence replaces fear. That can apply to our spiritual walk with God. Whatever I'm facing, when I know that God is real, and I know what I know, then confidence, not in myself, but confidence in God, it replaces fear. And fear is basically anti-faith. Because when we have faith, we don't have to fear what we're facing. Because it's in God's hands. Amen. I will praise Him when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. Then He says, I will keep thy statutes. I will. When we have finally convinced ourselves that, Lord, whatever your will is, I will be obedient. Whatever your statutes are, I will keep them. Whatever your commandment is in my life, I will obey you. Then he says, I will keep thy statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly. Praise from the heart. That can't be taken away by the adversary. Cannot. You know, he may take your voice away, but he can't take the praise out of your heart. He may have situations come against you, amen, that seem almost insurmountable, but he can't take the praise out of your heart. Amen. How many knows that you don't even have to open your voice to give him praise from your heart? Amen. Sometimes, because God knows our thoughts. Yeah. Even before we realize them, sometimes God knows our thoughts. And it's wonderful sometimes just to take a deep breath and just praise God. Even when there's a crowd of folks around you, even when you're driving down the highway, whatever you're doing, amen, just go ahead and praise the Lord. Because I will assure you, every single one of us under the sound of my voice tonight has more to praise God for than we do to have to complain for. Come on, we only complain more because those things are first and foremost in our mind sometimes. But we still got more to praise for. Amen. Got more to thank you for. God bless you. I love you each and every one so much. You're just such an inspiration to me. I know that many of you are working and have things and other dedication and commitments and things, but you come out on a Wednesday night to worship and glorify and praise the Lord. And I pray God will bless you for it. Love each and every one. Would you stand tonight? You may have a need tonight. You may want the church to pray for you. You may want to come up to the altar. The wonderful thing, this altar is always open. If you have a need, why don't we just all bow our heads in reference to the Spirit of the Lord that's in this place. If you have a need and you want to come forward tonight, please come. We'll pray with you and we'll pray for you. Is there one? While no one's looking around, this is a time that just be submissive to the move of God. While every head is bowed, if you have a request of prayer that you'd like the pastor to help you pray with this week, I won't ask you. I'll just see your hand and I'll ask the Lord to bless. God bless those hands. I see those and God sees those as well. We love you so very much. Brother Jim, would you come tonight and dismiss us with a word of prayer?